You have your Bibles. The Lord has laid the book of Jeremiah, chapter 37, on my heart. Jeremiah, chapter 37. I'll ask if you would please stand to your feet as we reverence God's word being read today. Before I read the scripture, tell you that I was gone to the trash dump to throw away some bags of trash, some cardboard boxes that I had folded up neatly. And as I backed my car up to the trash dumpster, there was a little bird that flew down on top of the dumpster and then jumped off the dumpster down to the ground. And he started pecking, 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 and all that nasty filth there in front of that trash dump. And I watched it, and I got my trash, and I threw it in the recycling bins and did all that I needed to do. And that little bird, it just stayed right there. I got burdened about that little bird. Why would it be eaten in such a nasty place? It was filthy. I got back in the car and I sat there and said, God, what are you trying to tell me? That bird, he didn't even move when I got out of the car. Usually they scare off. And the Lord said, you go back and you tell your people. They're looking for answers, but they're looking in the wrong place. Some of you are wondering today, does God have a word for me? Does God have something for me and my family? Rather than you wait on God to answer, you try to do what you know to do. And you're enjoying the filth of this world. But God has so much better for us today. In Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse 16, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. There is a word for you from God. And it may not be the word that you want to hear, but it is the word that you need to hear if you'll receive it. Father, would you help us today to preach the word of God? Lord, we need your help this morning. God, I pray you'd be pleased to speak to hearts. Grab someone's attention. Help them to focus on thus saith the Lord God. Help us, God, I pray, to look to you. And for this we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I begin to wonder, how many times has God spoken to us and we wouldn't listen, we wouldn't hearken, we would not receive it? I wonder if he had something specific for us, but we were too busy, or it wasn't what we wanted to hear or what we expected to hear. I think some of the most valuable lessons in my life have been learned when I listened to the Lord God. And just maybe today you're in a place in your life when you will stop to hear what God has been trying to say to you for some time. I want to say this morning, the title of the message is there a word from the Lord? Is there a word from the Lord, Bethel? There is a word from the Lord. And number one, it is a timely word. Jeremiah is one of the greatest prophets in all of the Word of God. You and I know him as the weeping prophet. His eyes were filled with tears over what was happening in his nation, Israel and Judah. Oh, for a Jeremiah today, that would weep over the state of our churches and the state of our country, the greatest country in the world, the United States of America, that someone would cry out to God. Begin to think, relate to our nation and to our church. God, is there any word for us today? Begin to think about a physically distressing time that Jeremiah was going through. In verse 1, the Bible says, King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim. Now, you may not think a lot about that, but Jehoiakim was the king, and Jeremiah had stood before him and told him, this is what God has to say. And Jehoiakim took a penknife and sliced up the word of God and threw it in the fireplace and burned it up, as if, I won't hear it, I won't read it, I don't want anything to do with it. This word is not true. But nonetheless, the word of God is a promise, and it changes not. And Jehoiakim was removed from office, and his son Jehoiachin stood in his stead for 3 months. And King Nebuchadnezzar, read the verse, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. King Nebuchadnezzar invaded the land, and he took the new king Jehoiachin and he threw him off to the side. He's also known as the name Coniah. And he took part of his family, a young man by the name of Zedekiah. And he thought Zedekiah would be loyal to Babylon. And he's a puppet king. Amen. He's a puppet king, doing the will of what someone else says for him to do. And in the land, it is a physically distressing time. There's never been a time just like that up to this point in Judah. It is also a spiritually disappointing time. Look at verse 2. But neither he, that's Zedekiah, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. They would not hear the word of God. Neither the king, nor his government, nor his cabinet, nor the justice system, nor any of the people in the land, they would not receive the word of God. No doubt, this grieved Jeremiah in his spirit and troubled him greatly. Verse 3, and Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Why, Preacher Darren, they're wanting to pray. How sweet. Interesting to me. They want Jeremiah to pray. They want Jeremiah to intercede for them. But they would not repent. But they would not hear the word of God. They rejected the word of God. But how they wanted to appear so religious and so sweet. Please pray for us, man of God. It's interesting, the world in which we live now. They will not receive the word of God, but they want you to pray for them. Pray for them to what? What do you want us to pray for you about? Oh, that things will get better. They'll get better when you repent, when you receive the word of God, and when you get obedient to what God has to say. No, we won't hear that. We'll find someone else that will give us smooth words. In verse 6, the Bible says, then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah that sent you to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return into Egypt, into their own land. And the Chaldeans
shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Here's what happened. Zedekiah sent these two men to Jeremiah, tell him to pray for us, and rather to look to God and ask for God's help while two kings have already been deposed and while the land is being invaded by the enemy. He turns around, and rather than go to God for help, he goes to Egypt. He goes down to Egypt and asks Pharaoh, will you come up and help us? We'll pay you. Pharaoh starts to come up. Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans, and the Babylonians heard that Egypt was coming up. They left the land of Judah. They turned around to fight Egypt and to push them back down into the land of the Egyptians. And King Zedekiah thought, hip, hip, hooray. We've avoided another crisis. Look what I've done. Oh, perfect, beautiful me. I've worked it out where we're going to have freedom again. And Jeremiah said, don't you think for a second that the people you've looked to are going to help you, because God said Nebuchadnezzar's coming back. They're going to destroy this city. They're going to burn it with fire. And you as a people are going to captivity. Whether you will receive it or not, it is the word of God. And Zedekiah did not want to hear what the man of God had to say. In verse number 15, wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. Jeremiah was beaten. Not only was he rejected, but he was beaten. And he was thrown in a prison cell for standing up and preaching the truth. These events will soon take place in our nation if we don't stand up for the freedoms to preach the word of God. We're in trouble. Verse 16, when Jeremiah was entered into that dungeon and into the cabins, Jeremiah remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and he asked secretly. He didn't want nobody to know he was talking to the man of God. And he says, son, is there any word from the Lord? Have you changed your mind after we've imprisoned you? Have you changed your mind after we have beat you and smacked you around? Have you changed your mind? Are you ready to give us a better message now? One that has been conformed to modern day times. And Jeremiah said, there is a word from God. You're going to be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylon. Oh, man. He didn't want to hear it. Chapter 38. Verse 17. Before I read it, I want you to know today, Preacher Darren, I got my hopes up. I thought there's a word from God just for me, and you're telling me that there's going to be hard times? Absolutely, honey, there's hard times right now. The Bible says in the last day there'd come perilous times. They're around us now. I'm powerless to change it. But here's what the Bible says for us to do during these perilous times of captivity in the day in which we live. Verse 17 of chapter 38. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live. And this city shall not be burned with fire. Thou shalt live and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given in the hands of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire. Thou shalt not escape out of their hands. Pretty clear. You're going into captivity one way or the other way. Perilous times will come. These days are upon us. What will we do? God said you can accept it and receive it, or you can try to rebel against it. If you rebel, you die. Or you can receive. You may say, bless God, I'm going to fight with all I got. When Zedekiah decided he would run, when he would got in fear, when he would fight and rebel, the Bible says in chapter 39, verse 6, the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. And the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. The Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. The word of God was true. All the prophets have said, oh, things are going to get better. None of those prophets were right. Only the man of God, Jeremiah, that preached the infallible, inerrant word of God. It is a timely word. Number two, and I'm done. It is a truthful word. Now, the word of the Lord's important, and I hope you'll hear me right here. When Jesus spake, he spake as one having authority, not as the scribes. When he spake in the middle of the storm, the winds and the waves obeyed him. When he spake to the legion, the demons came out. When he spake to the lame man, he was healed. When he spake to the blind man, he could see. When he spake to the deaf man, he could hear him. There's power in the word of the Lord and the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At the word of God, lives are transformed and lives are changed. I would remind you again today, hear this question. I'm talking to a daddy this morning. I'm talking to a mother. I'm talking to a student. I'm talking to a grandparent. Is there any word from the Lord for me? There he is. Oh, but it's not good news. Will you hear it for a second? It may not be what you want to hear, but it will be what you need to hear. I want to give you today what you need to hear, church. Don't be like the little birdie down at the stations of the world, sifting amongst the filth of this world to get you something to eat. God has a fresh meal for you this morning. There is a word from God. There's a word for our country in this. The Bible says in Psalm 33, 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalms 9, 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. There has never been a nation that feared God and served him that has ever fallen. Our problem is we will not hearken to the word of God. On the top of the Washington Monument at 555 feet tall, built and completed in 1884, are the words Laos Deo, Latin for praise be to God, standing over our nation's capital. In 2011, an earthquake came and caused that monument to crack. The thing weighs 90,000 tons. Many of the cracks in that monument were well over 40 feet long. They spent $15 million and 3 years to renovate this symbol of the nation's heritage. And the cracks in that symbol of freedom are slight in comparison to the cracks of the moral and social foundations which our nation has at this very moment. And as this monument was found with faults and they took time to renovate it, so is our nation. What's amazing is if we saw the need to repair the cracks in the Washington Monument, how can we not see the need to repair the cracks that are in the nation in which we now live? Are we that blind? We're not. America was founded on God's infallible, inerrant, inspired word. And God's word has never, ever had a crack, nor will it ever start to crumble. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God standeth forever." There is a word for this country. We need to repent. We need God in this country like we've never needed Him before. There is a word for the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. What's loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven, and what's bound on earth will be bound in heaven." If we want to point our fingers to blame at the moral breakdown of the church and of the family, honey, it's not likely to be found blame with the world. The blame is the church. We're the ones that's gone to the garbage dumpsters of this world. It's why we're seeing a nation where it is common to find little babies thrown in a garbage dumpster. Why the Supreme Court would uphold a law permitting babies to be killed in the womb. Why prayer has been taken out of our schools and the Word of God taken from our schools. We don't need to look to Congress. We need to look to the Lord God Almighty. And the very ones that's allowed this to happen is us. It's the church, because we tried to conform to the world and now we're shot up and beat all to pieces. It's because we said, "God, we don't need you and we don't want you." Lord God, we ought to get a burden for our country again and for our churches, amen. The church has not become the light of the earth anymore. It's not the salt of the earth. And he said in Romans, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want you to hear what William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, had to say. "We have become a people that has religion without the Holy Spirit. We try to have salvation without repentance. We try to have Christianity without Christ. There is no heaven without there being a hell." In other words, we, all the things that we need to hear, we've rejected for the things that we want to hear. What's popular, what pleases the world. Honey, I don't want the world. I don't want the things of the world. I don't want to please the world. We need to please one. That's the Lord God Almighty. Zedekiah said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" There he is. "Because of your disobedience, because of your rebellion, because you've ignored God's warning, you're going to be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylon for punishment. You're a nation going into captivity because you have forgotten God. But I have a word for you. If you will go and do your punishment, you'll live. But if you decide you're going to rebel and reject what God has planned for you, you're going to die and not live, and your country's going to be destroyed all around you." I have a word for us today in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land." There is a word of healing. There's a word of hope. You may say, "Preacher Darren, I'm in a storm today. There's no word for me, Preacher Darren. What am I going to do?" Jesus said to his disciples, "Get in the boat so you can cross over to the other side." But there's a storm. If they'd have known there was a storm, they would never went. But the Lord said, "Go." They didn't know there was a storm, and they're crossing over. They've got to go through the storm. They've got to go through this perilous time. And there they are in the middle of the night. They're in jeopardy. I mean, it's one. Listen, will y'all hear me? It's one thing to be in a storm, but it's another thing when the storm gets in your boat. And the water starts sinking your boat. And the wind starts sinking your boat. And there they were afraid in jeopardy. And the Lord came walking on the water. And they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a spirit. They thought it was something bad. And the Lord said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." There's a word for you today in your storm. Be of good cheer. The Lord is near. The Lord is with you to help you. When he said you're going to the other side, though there's a storm, you're going through to the other side. There's a word of healing. There's a word of hope. There's a word today of help. Preacher, what do you mean? I'm thinking about a young man, 38 years old, laid beside a pool. Nobody could help him get in the water. And the Lord Jesus walked up to him and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I'm asking you a question, daddy, mama, grandpa, grandma, student, young person, married person. Hey, wilt thou be made whole? Little birdie says, "Yeah, I want to be made whole. Peck, 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 peck." He said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Well, that's not what I expected to hear. That's not what I thought I'd hear. Honey, there's a word of help. When the Lord Jesus said, you don't need another man. You don't need a president. You don't need a Democrat. You don't need a Republican. You don't need a Supreme Court. I'm telling you, you've got what you need. You've got the Lord Jesus Christ, honey, and that's all you need to get through to the other side. You're in the middle of struggles right now. You have struggled more than you've ever struggled before. Is there a word for me? There is. The Lord said, "I'm all you need." Quit trying to adjust. Quit trying to conform the world. Quit trying to please everybody else. And just trust what God told you to do. Vance Havner said this: the last word of the church is not "go teach all nations," but according to Revelations, it's repent. You know what the church needs to do? Repent. It's time to awake. It's time to arise. It's time to sound. I wish I had an alarm. Ding, 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 ding. It's time to sound the alarm. It's time to challenge. It's time to comfort. It's time to cheer those around us. Is there a word from the Lord for our country? There is. Is there a word from the Lord for our church? There is. Is there a word from the Lord for the Christian? There is. God has a word for you individually. You see, the problem, everybody wants to, well, we go to the gas pump, Lord God. That's the most discouraging place to go nowadays. And you get down there, and I'm going to tell you something. The problem is not as much what's going on in the White House as what's going on in your house. The horn sounded. A football team went in for halftime. They were down 18 to nothing in the championship game. And their coach came in there. And man, he blasted them with his best pep talk. Let them have it. Then he encouraged them. And they just sat there on their hands, deflated, defeated. Coach walked off. Assistant coach walked up, gave them his best game plan, made a few changes to help them fix a few problems, and said, "Now the second half is ours, boys. Let's go." And they sat there. I'm talking about an undefeated, undisputed team that had been champion before. They're deflated. And all of a sudden, this is what happened. Their coach, who had disappeared, went and put on one of their helmets. And he come running into the room where they were sitting at the locker room. And there's a center right in the middle of the room. There was a group of lockers. And he just lowered his head and wrapped his arms and went kaboom. And he ran to the lockers and it knocked him over sideways. He took his helmet off, blood coming down the front of his head. The boys jumped up. They said, "Coach." He said, "Boys, I can't take it anymore. It's time for you boys to get fired up. It's time for you boys to do something about it." And when they saw their coach bloodied, when they saw their coach bruised, when they saw their coach, bless God, "Let's get in and go," they came out fired up, just like it was nothing to nothing, and they whooped the tarnation out of that other team. You know what needs to happen in this church? It's time to get fired up. It's time to get excited about what God's doing and get through this ho-hum mess. Well, time to go make the donuts. They'll have Sunday school at 10. We'll have worship service at 11. The Hill family will be there to sing today. I really like them. And then that preacher will get up there. He'll thunder away for about 45 minutes. No telling when on earth we'll get home and get to eat our hamburger. Lord God, won't you get fired up about something besides lunch? I mean, your grill is not the only thing that needs to be fired up today. I got four amens in the house. I'm telling you, if you don't get fired up, we may stay here till about 4 or 5 o'clock. Amen. I'm telling you, some of you sit here and said, well, it's time to retire. No, honey, it's not time to retire. It's time to refire. If you're lukewarm, get fired up. If you're disgruntled, get cheered up. If you're discouraged, look up. If you're a gossip, shut up. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 20, I'm almost done. Please turn there and humor me. In verse 7, Jeremiah has decided nobody is listening to me. He's depressed. He's discouraged. Oh Lord, verse 7, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. Look at me. You've not made mention of him all morning. We've been in the house of God for almost an hour, and not one time have you said, amen, Jesus. Praise the name of our Savior. You won't even make mention of him this morning. He said, I won't make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said, I quit. I may have been called by God. I may be anointed by God. God may have spoken through me. And that's all he's given me to do. But I'm done. All I preach is a message of judgment. All I preach is the word of God. And nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. God has a word for you, Christian. Is there a word for me? There he is. It's time for you to get excited about what God's doing in your life. To the Christless, the unsaved, you may be here today. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day. He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And today he wants to save your soul. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life. You can be saved. You can go to heaven when you die. He died that you might have life everlasting. There's a word from God for you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You've heard the word of the Lord. You've heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ wooing you, drawing you, compelling you to a place of salvation. Church, I want to say to you today, I'm done. Preacher Darren, for my circumstance, is there any word for me? There he is. And it may not be what you want to hear, but it'll be what you need. It may be that you need to wait right now. It may be that you need to go forward as the Lord leads you and guides you. But I'm telling you, He has a word for you individually. I'm telling you, we better get burdened about our country. We better get burdened about our churches. You have something that's most unusual, and it could easily be taken away just as quick as one little virus sweeps through the land. I'm telling you something, you better prize and value what God has for you. And you need to say, Lord, you have a word for me. I want it. I receive it. I request it. And I'll hearken. I'll honor what you have to say. You stand to your feet this morning. I have more to say, but I've just got to quit. Seth, you come play. Maybe there's somebody here. You'd be burdened about the United States of America. Maybe you're a young man. Maybe you're a young lady, a mom or a dad, a grandparent. Come and say, oh God, touch our country. Help us, God, to fall in love with Jesus. Maybe there's somebody today. You might come pray for Bethel Church, the churches that surround us. Pray for our church. Maybe today there's some Christians you need to pray for your home, for your place of business, for your work, for your job. You need to pray today as a Christian. Help me to lead my family as a daddy. Help me to lead my family as a mother, a single mother maybe. Oh, that God would help you. If there's anyone hearing the sound of my voice and you've never been saved, what a day to call on the Lord. He has a word just for you. Is there anybody here? You just slip up your hand and say, Preacher Darren, pray for me. I want to go to heaven. I need to be saved. I've never been saved. Is there anybody? Maybe you're watching online. Just ask Him to forgive you. Say, Lord, I believe I'm a sinner. And Lord, I believe you're the Savior. You died for my sins. Would you forgive me? You rose again. Would you save me? Father, this morning, I pray, God, for these that are gathered in this altar. Lord, I pray, God, for our country. Lord, the greatest on earth outside the land of Israel. Lord, I love this people. And God, both I and my father's house, we have sinned against you. We've accepted the garbage dumps of this world and called it what we need. Oh God, forgive us, Lord. God, I pray you cause wickedness and evil to be thrown to the ground. And God, let righteousness stand once again in our nation. Lord, we need you. God, please touch us. Help us, God. Lord, I pray, God, for our state and all 50 of our states. Lord, I pray this morning that God, you touch our church. I'm so thankful for Bethel. God, for the people that comprise this church. God, I pray for the marriages, the homes, the elderly, the feeble, the sickly. God, I pray for the widow and the widower. God, I pray for the healthy. I pray for the loved. God, I pray for the strong, and I pray for the weak. God, I pray today, Lord, that you'd work the impossible. Bless those that struggle, those in the storm. Help us, God, to look back to you, God. Heal, Lord, I pray. God, I pray for the Christian homes. God, I ask that you'd bless their businesses, their places of work, their children, God. I ask, Lord, you'd touch them. God, I pray today, Father, if there's someone here and someone under the sound of my voice that's never been saved, help them, God, today to be saved. Lord, is there a word from the Lord? There is. It may not be what I want, but thank you, Lord, it is what I need. And with this, I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.